Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Big Ticket, Variety and iHeart's movie podcast. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. Today, I sit down with Cynthia Erivo. The Tony Award winner is up for not one, but two Oscars for her work in Harriet, one for leading actress and the other for best original song for Stand Up. I actually first met Erivo at the opening of the Color Purple musical a few years ago. To see and hear her in that show was like nothing I had ever experienced before. She actually got a standing ovation while singing the ballad I'm Here on a nightly basis. I'll have more on that later. First, Erivo and I talked fashion because this Brit has become a certified fashion icon. She never doesn't not amaze with her colorful looks, hair, and signature wild manicures. Later, we talk about just how surreal the Oscar season has been, who she's taking to the Academy Awards, and how she'll prepare for her performance of Stand Up that same night at the Dolby Theater in Hollywood. I'll have Cynthia Erivo after this quick break. Stick around. Welcome back. Now here's Cynthia Erivo. You always turn it out.
Thank you.
How much fun is it doing that?
It's good. It's a lot for me. It's a lot of fun because I feel like it's an extra way to like express myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like when the opportunity comes to dress up, I throw myself right into it just because it makes me feel good. I really enjoy
it. That's what I've been doing lately too.
Just go for it. And you know, with all like when you get the cameras and like they also, what I've learned is that they appreciate when you are enjoying yourself and you want to have fun with them and you want to like blow kisses and you want to pose.
You're good
for
at the blowing the kisses.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's like make it fun for everyone and it will be fun for you too. Yeah.
Do you have any outfits you regretted?
I never regret any outfit. No, I think, I know that my taste is not always everyone else's taste, but whenever I put something on, I put it on because I love it. You know, that's it really.
Do you have a favorite?
Oh. Hard to pick. I have a few favorites actually. My Met Gala dress the two Met Gala dresses that I wore, the one that was originally by Tom Brown, the first one, which is covered in pearls, white.
Yeah.
And then the Valentino Met Gala, which was like basically a bandeau just over here, and a big velvet skirt. It was gorgeous. The Marc Jacobs flower dress that I wore to the opening, which is covered in flowers. The Grammy dress I wore last night, the Valentino Grammy dress, that was gorgeous. The green Valentino that was like silk, just all green top to bottom. Looked like I was out of Wicked.
Do you ever sit there and go, what has my life become?
Yes. Constantly.
Yeah.
Constantly. Because you know where I've come from, you know, what I was doing. And like to be here now, like, is a little bit.
Is it just surreal?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm really grateful for it. It's just so crazy.
Yeah,
I mean, to be here
to do what I do, I pinch myself. I come home and I'm like, I'm just this little poor kid from Queens. What am I doing talking to Cynthia Erivo? Before we even talk about the movies and the Oscars, which something I don't think I've ever talked to you about is I'm Here, and the standing ovation that you get in the middle of the show. I talk about that moment all the time.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like that. I'm a kid from Broadway, like from New York. So I went to a lot of Broadway shows.
Yeah.
Never seen anything like that.
I'd never seen anything like that. And I'd never experienced anything like that. And it felt really genuine when it happened. And it came from such a wonderful place. I felt like it was, every time it happened, it was from a place of like relief. The audience was like waiting for something to like crack, to give, they were waiting for this woman to find the strength you needed to like move on. And I think that you wait for so long for it to happen that when it does happen, everyone's like, it needs to happen now. And when it does, it's like, oh, thank God.
What went through your mind the first time that happened, where they literally stop your performance.
Yeah, they stop the performance. The first time it happened, I had to figure out how do I move the story forward? How do I keep going?
Right.
Because we have a story to finish. We have another at least half an hour before we're done. So I thought, how do I do this? How do I ease out of this without like making people feel like they've done something wrong? You don't want to make people feel like they've reacted in the wrong way.
Mm, that's interesting.
Because when I sort of learned to like turn really slowly upstage and walk off. Because once you walk away from it, okay, we're moving forward. And it, and right. it's gently, it would die down. And we'd be like, okay, we're moving forward. And then it would be pitch. Like, you could hear a pin drop after that.
Yeah.
Which is such a beautiful thing to, like, deal with. Gorgeous.
So Harriet Tubman, what did you know? Did you know anything about Harriet Tubman?
I did. I knew the broad strokes about her. I knew the work that she'd done. I knew that she'd done the 100 miles to freedom. I just didn't know really about the person. I had the pleasure of meeting the person whilst I was filming this.
Right.
This film.
And how did you know? You know, you're in the wardrobe for it. You're on set or you're on a location. Yeah. Is there a moment? Does it happen before production or during production where you're like, I got this. This feels right. I feel like this is your take on Harriet.
I think it was probably the first day when I had the costume on, I had the hair on, I had the hat on. I saw it sort of felt right.
Mm.
There was another day. There was another costume. It's and I don't know if it's even in the film anymore, but I remember putting it on and thinking, just it felt good, like the weight of it. Just looking at myself in the mirror felt right. Mm. I felt like it was her.
And what about the accent? How do you lose that British accent and just stay in that?
Well, it's because the British accent doesn't, it's not helpful, mm-hmm. you know, and I just forget about it.
Do you?
Yeah, I let it go. It's because I'm not playing myself. I'm trying to be as close to the person that I'm playing as possible. So, you know, I have really wonderful dialect coaches who will make sure that I'm specific about the area mm-hmm. that I'm speaking in. And she was wonderful. Denise was wonderful. And you just keep concentrating on who you're playing.
Right.
And then I have someone always listening just in case there is a slip. And she'll let me know if there's like a word or a pronunciation. And I'll change it immediately. But I never hang on. I'm not hanging on to the accent for dear life when I'm doing these roles at all. I'm happy to like let it go somewhere. Yeah.
And you're sitting doing this movie, obviously intense, hard material.
Mm-hmm.
How do you leave the set and just breathe and how do I explain it? Like just not only just taking it all with you, but the responsibility of what you were doing, of telling this story. We hadn't seen the story on film. And then the intensity of it and then going back to, you know, whether it's a hotel or, you know, a life that's just not that.
Yeah. I wasn't very good at letting it go at the end of the day because the hours were so close together when we'd have to be up and ready again that I would just sort of, I guess she sort of lingered most of the time.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. And the more we got into it, the more she stayed, which I think is quite helpful for me.
Mm-hmm.
Not to really let go of the character completely every day because I think to get her back would be exhausting.
Right.
So I think that I had her around me and then she would just stay around, really.
What was
you
it like?
Feel it.
What was it like singing as Harriet for the first time?
A little bit haunting, really.
Because
it's not my voice. It's not. Right. It's not the voice that I used to sing. So it's finding something that felt right for her, that felt immediate, felt like conversation. Which I was really honored to be able to try and find because obviously no one's heard her voice before. Right. No one's heard her sing before. And so the fact that the first what time you're hearing it is with my voice is special. Yeah.
And this is only your third film.
Yeah.
Your third film, and you're a double Oscar nominee in your third film. So let's get into the surrealness of that.
It's wild.
I know you, and I literally was like, wait, she's only done three films?
Yeah.
What is this? This is crazy.
Yeah.
What?
It's crazy.
What is going through your mind?
Like it just is all crazy. Everything, it feels like things happened really fast, but I know that it took a long time to get to the point where it could go really fast.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, yep.
It's just surreal, really. Like to think about where I was a few years ago and where I am now is, there's just leaps and bounds apart. It's just so, it's mad.
How do you stay grounded?
I have good people around me.
Yeah.
I know that I'm not perfect, so I can make mistakes, and I'm okay with that. And I remember that you only get one thing, like firsts once. So I try and stay as present as I can in the moment. And I'm always grateful. I try to always be gracious, because nothing is promised and nothing is demanded. You can't demand something.
Right.
So some of it is earned and some of it is gracefully placed on you, and you take it with a pinch of salt, I think. Yeah.
What does your family think?
They're all over the moon, really. They're sort of like blown away by the whole thing, but they're also so sweet. Like my sister and I, we barely talk about what we do. We always talk about like stuff, like
sisters,
stuff.
Right.
You know, a cousin of mine found baby pictures of me. I think I was like 2 or something. I look like Minnie Mouse. She was like, and she sent them to me. She was like, sis, I've just found these pictures and you look amazing. Like, you look so adorable. I was like, but like, and she's not even born yet. And I was like, I have to show you them. I'll show you this picture that came up. I was like, this is crazy. Like, and when I look at, it's like I still have the same face, but she's right. Like, I'm just Minnie. Let's see if you can spot me.
Okay, I'm looking at a photo. That's you right there?
That's me right there.
Wow. You do look like Minnie Mouse.
I look like Minnie Mouse. Like, so you couldn't have told me then that I knew what was good. Like,
so you look at that girl right now.
Right?
What do you tell her now?
I tell her that she's done a really good job, and that she should always have fun. And her fashion sense seems to not have gone anywhere.
No, she likes the colors.
She's in all red with 2 ribbons in her hair. And I hope, like, my eyes are still like big and bright, so I hope that they stay that way.
Mm.
You know, not to be afraid of being that way, to be bright, to be fun, and to be the one that sticks out in the crowd if she wants to. Yeah.
I'm going to take a short break, but when we come back, Erivo reveals one of the most surreal experiences she's had since being nominated for her Oscars. I'll be right back. Welcome back. Now here's Cynthia Erivo. Where did you find the courage to pursue acting and singing?
I don't know.
It takes courage.
Yeah, it does. And I think that silly picture. Look at this. This is my cousin. It's cute. I don't know. I think it just felt like a natural thing. I think it came from my mother, because my mother sort of knew what I was before I did. And she never pushed. She was never pushy. She just was very encouraging.
And was this anything that was ever in your family? Any other people? Any other performers?
Not that I know of. No. Wow. No. So I think she just saw it and nurtured it and said, well, go on, make sure you keep doing it. Never discouraged me from it. I've never heard her ask me if I've got a backup plan. You know?
Wow.
She was just like, if you want to do it, work hard, and that's that. So I did.
So what does she say to you when you get an Oscar nomination?
She has no idea. And things before that, like, I had brought her to New York to come to the concert and to spend Christmas with me and New Year's. And she was in my apartment. She said, I never in a million years thought we would be here. And I'm so proud of you. And I can't believe that you've done all this. And thank you for all the things you've done for me. And I was just like, well, really, it's come from you.
Right.
Didn't do it for myself. So I she's just overjoyed. And I think it's one of those things where she just doesn't have to worry about me anymore, which is really nice.
Is she a worrier?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I mean, I have a Jewish mother. That's
if she could ask me every day if I was eating, she would ask me every day if I was eating. She would call me every day. She needs to talk to me every day because she misses me. If I don't talk to her in 2 days, something's wrong. There is something missing.
No, my mother's thing is, you haven't posted on Instagram. Are you okay? And I'm like, Mom, you can't track me on social media. Don't do that. But it makes kind of sense.
It's hilarious. She's great. She's my biggest fan. She genuinely is. She still watches videos of me on her iPad. And she loves it. And if she could be at every single performance, she would be.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's all about moms, isn't it? It really is. Yeah. So who are you bringing to the Oscars with you?
My mom.
Oh, good. I want to meet her.
My best friend.
Wow.
And the lady who I call my surrogate mom as well. She's taken me under her wing when I got here, and she's been really wonderful and helpful. And she cares. So I'm bringing those 4 people. So my mom, my sister, my best friend, and the surrogate mom.
And it's not your first time you've been to the Oscars.
No, it isn't. No. It's my second time.
But as
this time,
as a
I'm a nominee.
A double nominee.
A double nominee, yes. So like this is, you know, feels like a full circle moment because I was so pleased to be there the last time.
Right.
Just as a singer.
I remember.
For the Governor's Ball, and it was like the best thing ever. Well. And now I get to be there as a nominee.
What has been the most surreal moment, where whether you're at the luncheon yesterday, the Oscar nominees luncheon, mm-hmm. or another, you know, there's been a gazillion events.
Yeah.
What's been the surreal moment that someone has come up to you, said, I love your performance, I love your singing?
Kathy Bates.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Pryce. Looking at those two, and Kathy going, I just love you. I think you're amazing. I've been watching the series of The Outsider, and I mm-hmm. just think she's brilliant. And I'm looking at Kathy Bates, and I'm thinking, you are telling me that, that I'm brilliant. That is unbelievable.
What did Jonathan Pryce say?
Jonathan Pryce introducing himself. Hi, my name's Jonathan Pryce. I'm like, I think everybody knows who you are by now, sir.
I saw Miss Saigon.
I know who you are. I know you are. It's really nice to meet you. Okay. Yeah, you know, I think it's just great to be able to, those things are surreal. When you find moments with people that you've looked up to for ages, you know, this was a surreal moment. I was at the Grammys, Smokey Robinson walks by with his wife and he stops. He goes, we just love you. We watch your film and we think you're amazing, him and his wife. And I'm looking at Smokey Robinson thinking, do you realize that you changed the face of music? Are you crazy? This is crazy. You're Smokey Robinson.
Is that what you're saying out loud or in your head?
In my head. I'm like, but you're Smokey Robinson. You're Smokey Robinson.
Smokey Robinson.
The tracks of my tears.
Yes.
What? Those moments are crazy. These are people that I have looked up to my entire life.
Wow. You have gratitude.
Yes. Yeah. Immense gratitude. Immense. You know, people who I've learned from mm-hmm. have seen me. They see me and they appreciate the work I do, not knowing that I love the work that they've done. And their work has taught me and inspired me and moved me to do work that I do.
Now, I know we've talked about the lack of diversity mm-hmm. among Oscar nominees, mm-hmm. but then even more so, mm-hmm. what we at Variety reported was mm-hmm. there's only 5 black mm-hmm. nominees this year.
Mm-hmm. And we took a picture together yesterday.
Of those 5.
Only
2 are you.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you say to that?
It just has to get better. We can't keep doing this.
Right.
We've got to find a way to equally celebrate all the work that comes out. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know. Whether it's changing rules, whether it's changing how people vote, whether it's changing how things are cast. I don't, like, it just, we can't keep doing this. We can't get here like this.
Right. Because it's, you know, and I've thought about it a lot, and I've thought about, like, what's my responsibility in this as a journalist? Mm-hmm. You know, is it voting? Are people watching the movies?
Yeah.
You know, one thing that I keep bringing up and I go back and forth about is, should there be a first-time director Oscar?
Right. That, because, you know, I think would be really special.
But then people, I see it both ways. Other people say, well, if it's such a great film, it should be in the best picture category. But then I say, that film's never going to be part of the conversation.
Mm-mm.
And those smaller films are what people of color, LGBTQ. Yeah.
That's where they have to start. That's what they have to make. And if no one takes notice of them, then it stops them from being able to make others. And it just takes a lot to be able to make a film and too many people are being unnoticed.
Yeah.
And it's not good.
So you're going to perform at the Oscars
I am. Yes. I'm very excited. Because you know what? Before anything else, before the nominations, one of the dreams of mine was to perform at the Oscar stage. With or without nomination. Any song.
Right.
It could have been anyone else's song. I just wanted to sing on the Oscar stage. So to do this with my own song, beyond belief. Beyond belief. I can't even begin to put into words how this feels.
before you go on a stage like that, what's your ritual? Do you have a preparation?
I probably will say a prayer. I always join with my MD, take a look at their eyes, look at, you know, let's focus for a second. Right. I put on a little bit of perfume always. Even no one can smell me, but I don't know why, but I always
do. You have a certain one?
Changes with the outfit. Wow. Yeah. Go over the words, probably forget the first line of the song, because I always do ask the MD what the first line of the song
really
is. Yeah. I, for some reason, always forget the first line of the song. But it's all right. I think it's usually a good sign, because then all the words come flooding back.
Right.
There's no need to forget this time, because there'll be a prompt time. So it'll be fine. And then I go on. I breathe, and it's time to do it.
That was Cynthia Erivo. Thanks for listening to this week's Big Ticket. Coming up next week, Issa Rae. The Insecure star talks about her new movie, The Photograph, waiting tables in college, and so much more. And don't forget, for all your Oscar news, make sure to check out Variety.com and make sure to follow me on Twitter and Instagram @MarkMalkin. See you next time.